I wonder how many people have heard of Tourette's syndrome. If you want to understand what Tourette's syndrome is, just think about sitting at a funeral and feeling like laughing. I attended both of my parents' funerals, one when I was 17, one when I was just short of 20, and every now and then I felt like laughing in the middle of it. There's nothing funny about your parents dying, but the simple fact is that if everybody is being funereal and grave day after day, you begin to get this sort of feeling that you want to laugh, and you generally suppress it. Tourette's syndrome is a kind of backward wiring. What happens is that someone with Tourette's syndrome will actually laugh at the funeral of his parents. Someone with Tourette's syndrome, when they're surrounded by a very Christian, very righteous people, they'll start using the foulest words in the world. Their brain is just wired that way. It's a disease. It's a syndrome. The person who does that is mentally ill. I was talking to a psychiatrist friend of mine who spent 30 years in the Naval Reserves, and he was talking about a white guy who had Tourette's, and whenever he got among black members of his service, he would start using words like nigger and coon and all the stuff that he knew very well he wasn't supposed to use. If he had been among Baptists in church, he would have started using foul language or blasphemy. But what struck me was that the psychiatrist I was talking to said that the black troops kept beating him up. And my question was any disciplinary action taken against them? Well, he looked at me like I had come from outer space and said, no. Well, you and I both know that if a group of troops in any force had known that a person had a syndrome, was mentally ill, and was using language that offended him, they would not be allowed to just beat the hell out of the guy. And to me, this was sort of a revelation, because here was this psychiatrist looking at me as if I'd lost my mind because I said these black men should not have been allowed to be violent against a mentally ill man. And when I made my point, and the psychiatrist looked at me, we were really in two different worlds. He considered that if a man has a black skin and he gets insulted, he's not supposed to consider whether the person insulting him is mentally ill or not. He's just supposed to react. My feeling was that a black man course, was raised with black people. I've worked with black people. It just never occurred to me that there was some sort of exemption from common humanity just because your skin is black. And I'll tell you something else. Most of the black ministers out there would come right up and say the same thing. What is this sudden exemption from humanity that one gets because one is black? It's not just an exemption from humanity. It's a step down from humanity. A man who is black is a man. I remember during the New Orleans disaster, when a lot of black people were rioting and so forth, and one black announcer got terribly upset, and other people were trying to say that, well, maybe some white people had done the same thing, and his comment was, I do not expect black people to be moral compared to white people. He said, I expect my people to be moral, period. Some of the best points I think I have to make are so simple that people miss them. A few years back, I was on a news group on the internet, and one Hispanic guy was complaining that some Anglo had a bad attitude toward Hispanics, that he had contempt for Hispanics. And I said, quite simply, why in the hell should you worry about what the attitude of some bigot towards Hispanics is? And he, apparently being a pretty bright and perceptive person, wrote back and said, you have made a very good point. Why should I be worried about this guy's attitude toward Hispanics? The point being that if he worried about this guy's attitude toward Hispanics, he was being a white supremacist. That the attitude of some white guy, whom he obviously had no respect for, somehow was critical to him. He got off it quick. He took my point. Now, what somebody does to you is very important. If someone discriminates against you or does something to you, that's very important. But that's a big difference between, there's a big difference between worrying about what they do to you and what they think of you. It never occurs to anybody that white people wake up in the middle of the night worrying themselves to death about what black people or Hispanics or anybody else thinks of them. You sort of take it for granted that we don't really care, right? You're right. I have never woken up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat worrying about the fact that Fred Sanford wouldn't want me to marry his daughter. And yet a lot of black people seem to consider that to be the whole test of whether they're human or not. That white people might somehow not want them to marry their daughter, and therefore that this puts them in some sort of horrible position. How white supremacist can you get? Now let's go back to me talking to this psychiatrist. The psychiatrist had all the proper attitudes toward the non-white races. He was a white man who believed in interracial marriage and all of the wonderful things that black people are supposed to worry about day and night. But, and when I asked him why it was that these black servicemen in uniform were not punished for beating a person who was obviously a mental case, who had Tourette's syndrome, he should have been, of course, removed from that part of the service. There are various things you do about mental illness, but what you don't do about mental illness is beat up somebody because they're mentally ill. And every one of these black men knew that this fellow had Tourette's syndrome. But when I mentioned the possibility that these black men should be held to the responsibility of not beating up a person who was mentally ill, the psychiatrist, who had all the right mental attitudes that I don't have, looked at me like I was from outer space. They were black. They were supposed to beat this fellow up. Now, how do you deal with that? How do I explain that I don't have all the right mental attitudes as far as blacks are concerned or Hispanics are concerned? I'm worried about the preservation of my own race, which is supposed to make me a Nazi. But the idea that an adult black man is going to naturally, because he has no control over himself, is going to naturally beat up a mentally ill man strikes me as weird, absolutely insane. And to the psychiatrist, I was weird and absolutely insane. We simply could not come together on this idea. Which one of us was the white supremacist? Now, I don't think that there is a single black person listening to this broadcast who doesn't know what the actual answer to that question is. Which of us was the white supremacist? Both of us were the white supremacists. My particular form of white supremacy is the idea that white people have a special right to exist in the world. As I say, today, anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. What every liberal, every respectable conservative has to agree to on television, if he is to be a respectable spokesman, is that There must be third world immigration into every single white country, and only into white countries. Japan has a lower density of population than Belgium or the Netherlands, but no one is pushing Japan to bring in non-Orientals. The same thing is true of Taiwan. They have a lower density of population than the Netherlands or Belgium. No, the only countries in the world who are supposed to have this race problem that must be solved by assimilation of vast numbers of immigrants from non-white countries are the white countries. Now, if I were to say, well, there's this race problem in the world in Belize and Jamaica, and then I would name all the countries in sub-Saharan Africa, and I would say, now these are the countries that have this race problem, and they need huge numbers of non-blacks to pour in there, and they need to assimilate with them. I don't think it would take a reasonably intelligent black man more than 5 seconds to realize that I was not talking about solving a race problem. I would be talking about the final solution to the black problem. This is not rocket science. So I am considered white supremacist because I don't like the fact that we have a world policy aimed at getting rid of the white race. That's called genocide. On the other hand, my psychiatrist friend and others feel that getting rid of the white race is all right because white people are supposed to be big enough, moral enough, to be willing to get rid of their race to solve this race problem. And while it would be bad for a white person to beat up somebody with Tourette's syndrome for saying mean things about them, you don't expect that sort of thing from non-whites, do you? Well, obviously not, because he looked at me like I had lost my mind. The idea that black people should have this sort of self-restraint had quite simply never occurred to him. And when I say there's this genocide against white people, and I say maybe we could recruit some non-whites to defend us, to say we have a right to exist, people look at me as if I had lost my mind, which is always a possibility, because non-whites are simply not in the category of self-sacrifice that white people are expected to be in. Getting rid of white people should be all right with white people, and white people are very upset with white people who don't settle for that. On the other hand, if sub-Saharan Africa were threatened in the same way, you would expect them, since they're not on our moral level, to resist. Doesn't this strike anybody as just a little bit patronizing? A little bit white supremacist? Apparently not. So what we have here is your old-fashioned white supremacists like me who feel that white people have a right to exist. And this is, these days, not only white supremacist, but if you think that white people have a right to exist, you're a Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews. And then you have the other white supremacist attitude that whites are just flat morally superior to black people. We are willing to destroy ourselves for the sake of other races without hesitation. This is not white supremacy. This is just morality. But it happens to be a morality that we would not expect of non-whites. That strikes me as another form of white supremacy. But before I get into some sort of self-righteous tone here where I say I'm for the survival of my own race, but these other people are, these liberals and respectable conservatives are saying that they are morally superior. So I'm just a survivalist and they are saying they're morally superior. Let me admit right up front that I do have these supremacist feelings. There is a lady at, a black lady at the bank where I have my account. And I mentioned to her that my cousin, who is a United Methodist minister, had sent out cards that said season's greetings. And I was a little taken aback that a Christian minister would be sending out season's greetings messages on the main Christian holiday. And she said, I've had enough of that. Now, I thought immediately that she was just playing up to me. You see how egotistical that is? She was genuinely upset. She's a Christian. She didn't like the idea that a minister would be sort of putting Christmas in the, I mean, what if I were to send a Jewish friend of mine at Passover a thing that said season's greetings? I don't think he would be particularly appreciative. No, she was genuinely upset, but it took me a minute to realize that she was genuinely upset. Even though she's black, she was genuinely upset. That's a pretty thoroughly white supremacist attitude. A lady guard here, black lady, read my last book. At least I hope it's my last book. Lord, I'm tired of writing books. And she kept declaring to me that she was my greatest fan. Well, the book included what I just said about worrying about the existence of the white race. But it also was mostly devoted to the fact that colleges, that college professors are an enclosed group that is tyrannizing it over other people. And that's the part she noticed. As far as my saying I was worried about the white race, her attitude was, this is a white man. He's worried about the white race. So what's new? And it sort of bothered me because I was thinking, well, maybe she trusts me to have some of these good NAACP attitudes or black liberal attitudes. No, she thought what I said was good. But my first reaction was the old white supremacist attitude, but she thought that I had gone over to the race mixing thing and so forth. This is a little complicated, but I think most, at least of the black people listening to this, will understand what I mean. I think most of the Southerners will. It's a thoroughly white supremacist attitude that black people don't have attitudes of their own. Of course, it's reinforced by the fact that black, quote, leaders, unquote, have this universal set of things that they stand for. They're sort of the liberals' faithful colored companions. That's going to end before long. And this gets us into something a little more complicated. One of the lessons of history is, and of international relations and of common observation, is that when Bob Whitaker is sitting here talking about Europe, to Bob Whitaker, Europe is sort of one unit. It's very simple. I have all sorts of rules I can tell you about Europe. And I can say generally it's divided in Eastern and Western Europe, and I can give you all sorts of rules, none of which is right. Europeans can do the same thing with us. They talk about America, and they usually are talking about whatever they read lately in the New York Times. When black people talk about white people, they're talking about a solid unit. When any of us, black or white, talk about Orientals, we're talking about sort of a unit who have a particular Oriental attitude at which the average Oriental would laugh himself sick. When we talk about the black community, we think of one single group, and that is not quite true. Yes, I can hear the black people back there laughing themselves sick over that understatement. But there are the blacks who are presently the, quote, leaders, unquote, who live in Chevy Chase, Maryland, and whose biggest problem in life is whether they can belong to the local country club. And there are blacks who are in the Deep South and are dedicated Christians. And there are blacks in Harlem who are not particularly interested in religion. They want to know where the money is and when. And it gets a good deal more complicated than that. But at this moment, and it's going to look funny in the history books, we have the liberals and the respectable conservatives, and those two groups are sort of debating, and they call themselves both sides of the political debate. Well, the biggest minority in America today is the Hispanics, and they're growing, but they are considered as sort of part of the liberal group, and more whites are swinging over to the conservative group. And it's a very weird situation if you look at it in historical terms, because this is going to change. This is going to change fast. In 10 years, commentators are going to wonder how we could have been under the illusion we're under right now. The 10% of black people who are the, quote, leaders, unquote, of the, quote, black community, unquote, are an entirely different group. The entire political debate at the moment is devoted to what is called both sides, meaning the liberals and the respectable conservatives. And inside the liberal group are all colored peoples. And inside the conservative group is more and more a solidly white group of people. Now, conservatives or Republicans will tell you that's not true. They're open to all peoples and all that. But let's do a little arithmetic. The fact is that back in the 1960s, when America was approximately 80 to 90% white, the Democrats held the majority. Now, when minority groups are voting solidly Democratic, Republicans hold the majority. You can't really do a lot of arithmetic without figuring that whites are gravitating or stampeding toward the Republican Party. But nobody but me is going to say that. It's just a matter of arithmetic. But the entire system at present makes no sense at all. And in earlier times, when we say, well, it's going to be a revolution or some sort of violence or something, I personally think that, sort of like the Soviet system, what's going to happen is that this is going to be seen as absurd, and the thing is going to change. I don't know exactly when, I don't know exactly how, but the present system is absurd. There are different groups of people, and within those groups of people, there are people, individuals, and this system simply cannot continue to exist. Now, it has lots of inertia. It has lots of media support. As I say, you always talk about both sides, liberal and conservative. But the present system is absurd. And it's going to come down rather quickly. Well, we'll talk about this more later. This is Bob Whitaker. Stop, and I hope you'll listen to me again.